Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
We traded hearts, waited on where the trade winds play.
All right, so ongoing at this hour is a press conference involving our U.S. Trade Representative, the Canadian Foreign Affairs Minister, and the Mexican Economy Secretary as well. And they're talking about those NAFTA talks, which are expected to continue extending past the 2017 or end of 2017 deadline. Let's get the lowdown on this, though. Caitlin Weber follows this for us. She's our government analyst of U.S. trade policy at Bloomberg Intelligence, our in-house group of analysts. And she is with us from our Bloomberg 991 studio in Washington, D.C. Caitlin, it's ongoing, so we're going to watch for headlines, but pretty much we kind of knew where this was going according to our reporting and our sources here at Bloomberg News. So they're going to continue the talks.
That's right. And I actually think after the last few days of some really negative headlines out of these talks, even some rumors that they're on the cusp of potentially collapsing, I think that the news that they are all the parties are extending the talks through at least the first quarter of next year is actually a positive sign. Initially, they had wanted to wrap up by the end of this year. But the fact that they are agreeing, even after the U.S. has put forward these really hardline proposals during this most recent round of talks, they're agreeing to keep talking. They're agreeing to continue to extend the period between negotiations to sort of let the lower-level ministers hash some of these things out. I think that's actually a positive point in these negotiations, which, let's remember, are really only, you know, maybe not even halfway to the ending point. Yeah.
Right. And the NAFTA negotiators saying that they successfully completed round four. So we're looking forward to the next round of talks between the three nations. The negotiators also saying they successfully completed or saying they have new proposals. Oh, forgive me, I just flipped. I'm sorry, progress on customs, digital trade, and others. My Bloomberg flipped, so I missed. I couldn't read the headline. So they are making some progress as they move along. The biggest issues, I'm thinking about the wall and some other things that sit between these nations. How is this anticipated to ultimately end up?
Yeah, so some of the less controversial issues with the digital trade, the sort of the modernization of the deal, bringing it up to up to sort of the modern era from 1994, those are less controversial. So it's not surprising that they were sort of heralding the success around agreement on those points. The trickier points are really what the U.S. is demanding around rules of origin. So these are the rules that a product has to adhere to in order to qualify for duty-free status under NAFTA. And these would primarily affect automakers and, to a lesser extent, retailers in the textile industry. The U.S. wants to increase for vehicles the rule of origin by 20 percentage points. That was sort of their opening proposal this round. You know, that's
pretty
really
steep.
A non-starter. That's a non-starter for Mexico and Canada, and also for the big three automakers. They're not on board with that as well. So I think it's important to remember that's a starting point. That's not the end point. We will have to see where that ends up.
This is where I feel like in talking to you and doing some really smart reporting that we can talk about what NAFTA does for the three different nations that are involved. Is it a level playing field, Caitlin, between the three?
So in the NAFTA deal, because it's, you know, almost 25 years old, at this point, it has wiped out tariffs between the three nations. So trade between the three nations at this point is duty free, fully free. Of course, you know, there's different levels of, you know, workers are paid different amounts. Mm-hmm. The minimum wage is far different between the U.S. and Mexico. So it wouldn't be fair to say that it's leveled the playing field totally. But it's certainly the three economies since NAFTA was implemented in 1994 have become much more highly integrated, and especially in sectors, like I mentioned earlier, automakers and retail and the textiles have become much more integrated than they were 20 plus years ago.
I mean, could we still see the U.S., the United States exit from NAFTA?
I'm pretty skeptical of that, even though we've heard a lot of rumors about it. I really do think it's a negotiating tactic on the part of the Trump administration. There is very little to no support for that in Congress or the business community. If we did see the Trump administration make good on that threat, we would just see a litigation and lobbying bonanza just here in the U.S. alone. That would be highly unpopular. I think the prospects of that are very low, not zero, so it's something to watch. But, you know, I think it's probably a small chance that we would see such a drastic step taken.
What are you hearing about from the negotiators? And maybe it's not only the senior level, but the lower level, right? There's a lot of people that are on these trade teams from each of the countries. Is it amicable? Is it friendly in terms of the negotiations that people want, that understand that maybe the NAFTA that we've had for the last few years, it's an old agreement, and maybe things need to be updated and revised? But is there kind of a will among the three countries to actually get something done that works for all three nations? Because they understand the importance of free trade, easy trade between the three.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's a lot of agreement, particularly among the sort of the career staff at the U.S. Trade Representative and their counterparts in Canada and Mexico, that this deal needs to be modernized, needs to be upgraded, because back, you know, 25 years ago, there wasn't such thing really as e-commerce. And so it needs to be updated to reflect the modern economy. And so actually, and a lot of the updates on those areas are less controversial. I think, you know, there's less agreement around these more controversial issues like the rules of origin. And I think potentially there's even probably less agreement within the USTR between the career officials at USTR and the Trump appointees, because the Trump administration's U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer is going in a very different direction from his predecessors, who were really leading the way for expanding new trade deals, and he's mm-hmm. really trying to change ones we already have.
You know, Caitlin, I feel like any time over, you know, my lifespan in terms of doing business news, you know, anytime that any major trade deals came up, the business community, the American business community certainly was out front and center, and they didn't want anything that was going to somehow prevent them from getting into other markets. And I assume it's still the case.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a broad, almost unanimous agreement in the U.S. business community around sort of not screwing up this NAFTA renegotiation. There's agreement that it does need to be upgraded, but they keep making the point over and over, let's just do no harm here. This is really important to us. This is really important to a lot of American industries and workers, and let's not do harm to this this deal that's really been helpful for a lot of companies.
It's interesting. I'm looking at a quick story here on the Bloomberg that the Mexican peso jumping more than 1%, dipping below the 19 to the U.S. dollar, 19 pesos to the dollar, on these headlines that the NAFTA talks are going to extend into this year. You know, investors seeing that no news will be good news. So it's interesting. So what do we as investors kind of have to watch for now as these negotiations continue? So the next, I guess, date point, if you will, is mm-hmm. in November, correct, when they meet again?
Yep, they pushed the next negotiation back a few weeks into November. I think going forward, something to keep in mind, especially with the overall talks being pushed into next year, mm-hmm. is how they could be impacted by elections both in the United States, the midterm elections, and in Mexico. There's a presidential election there mm-hmm. Next summer, and so I think that is some potential for these, for the political season to maybe overheat some of these talks and overheat some of the rhetoric around these talks. So we're not there yet, but something to sort of look forward to next year is how that heated political rhetoric around trade and these these two major economies could impact ongoing talks.
All right. So the big headline after ministers saying to agree to extend the talks into 2018, should we assume, Caitlin, that they will though ultimately be wrapped up in 2018? Do they have to be?
They certainly don't have to be. They don't have to really change anything. And, you know, it'll be tough even to finish it by next year, I think, you know, with those a lot of members of Congress, a lot of people here in Washington are going to be focused much more on midterms once we get into next year. You know, I think maybe 2019 at this point, we're even, we could even be looking at that.
That means you and I will continue talking about this
yes.
for a while. Caitlin, great insight. Caitlin Weber, government analyst at of U.S. Trade Policy with our Bloomberg Intelligence team, our in-house group of analysts, joining us from our Bloomberg 991 studio in Washington, D.C.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.